Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 209 of the Ant King Frequency. How are you going, Larry?
Not too bad, my friend. Not too bad at all. How are you doing?
Good. I feel like we've already recorded a show in pre-show discussion alone.
Well, there is. I was thinking, damn, this is actually a pretty good topic right here. Well, talking about, you know, but it's one of those things. It's like one of those general things here and there about movies and what's, you know, what's memorable at the moment may not be memorable 10 years later. What may make a lot of money doesn't really matter in the long run.
No.
It's all about maximizing profit. Do you want to make an impact? John Carpenter's The Thing made an impact on me as a kid. Seeing that for the first time, seeing the body come open and then, you know, clear, and he goes in and loses his arm. That, CGI monster man fighting another CGI monster man as CGI background, as some bland music plays, and everything shot like a TV show, shot like Arrested Development with some lens flares, because the movies do have lens flares. The MCU movies have lens flares. People don't like to talk about it, but hey, it's like, oh, lens flares, J.J. Abrams. Like, go look at the Marvel movies. Go look at them. They're not actual... These are not John Carpenter lens flares, because they were using the widescreen lenses. They were using flares and the way they're using lighting.
Yeah.
No, these are artificial. Hey, let's just bump up that little lens flare, that little dramaticism to it. But that's neither here nor there. That's not our discussion for this week.
No. Well, that dynamic lighting also hides a lot of CG, and much like blur, makes things look a bit more embedded in reality. Anyway, hey, you know what? Why don't we mix it up today, Larry? Why don't you come up with a topic?
Well, considering how it's been a while since I came up with a little something, I had this idea come to mind because I was talking with our buddy Pete.
Oh, yeah.
And it mentioned something because of the recent announcements with the upcoming, which they should have just honestly, James Bond franchise, they should just rebooted it back to 1940s and had it like during World War II, spies during World War II, just go ahead and make it a period film. That would be a far more interesting film because everything has been Jason Bourne-ized, you know, these days. Jason Bourne, two things have ruined Bond. Bourne and Austin Powers. That two things that ruined Bond for
much. That's a good point. I didn't think about that. They insofar as Austin Powers on one side as the spy reputation that they want to get as far away from as possible, which, you know, especially Roger Moore era Bond went towards. And then Jason Bourne is that modern spy that they want to go as much towards. Though Bourne was never a spy. He was basically a button man.
Yeah, exactly. He would have been like Robert Shaw in The Spy Who Loved Me.
Sure.
The Russia Would Love. That one. Yeah, that like where Robert Shaw was the assassin, the like former like MI6 assassin. He's like assassin. It's actually good. That's actually my third favorite Bond film, fourth favorite roughly. The topic that came to mind was the fact that the Bond movies used to be a rite of passage. Like, hey, I'd show my kid this, that kind of thing. Like, you know, sure. I was shown this. So today, what does it mean to be a man or a young man in this society?
The Ant King of Frequency.
Okay. Why are you discerning between man and young man? Because I think there's no bones about it. We're not young men anymore. We're approaching middle age.
Well, what I was thinking is like more along the lines of when I grew up as a kid, my dad tried to impart me to like, hey, be self-sufficient to a degree, like build your own stuff, carpentry, fixing cars, this, that, whatever. But nowadays, you being a parent yourself, but having to take care of, you know, like, you know, you're nurturing that future human being, that future adult. You're not just not taking care of children, you're taking care of an adult, an eventual adult. So building upon that, like imparting any kind of knowledge and or like kind of what does it mean to be masculine these days? There really isn't, I was thinking, there really isn't many ways to, you can't go fix your own cars these days. Mm. You can't go out. Nobody really goes out hunting.
Well, that's no one's fault. The cars are more electrical than they are mechanical nowadays. So it's you kind of need a decked out lab with computer gear to do that.
You need a Frankenstein lab just to fix your car.
Yeah, yeah. That's not for anyone's abundance of testosterone or not.
But I think I do think that without that, you know, like it's not just testosterone, but it's more like being, you know, like grown men not being able to change their own car tires, or they get to, you know, call, you know, the roadside service. So here it would be like Allstate or AAA or whatever. Sure. You know, call, you know, AAA, but call them up. Hey, I can't change my tire. It's perfectly nice day. Isolated. You're far enough off the road. I changed a car tire by moonlight, by full moonlight. My batteries and my flashlight went dead. I had to change the car tire, and the tire tread came completely off. So not only did I had to get the had to get the tire the tread off of the backside. I jacked the car up, and I mean I wasn't even all the way off the road because it was about 7 foot plunge on the side of the road I was on into a deep ditch. But I think these days people are much softer, and it's like that, right? You know, like when even raising young boys, raising young men to men, whatever, it's like, I don't have kids, but it kind of concerns me if I were to have a son. It's like, you can't really prepare them for a tough world, because that doesn't exist no more. You
know, it's a different world. Yeah. And that's where I think a lot of people are. That's where in Australia, I think we have the problem of the bogan. Or the redneck, as you may have, is that there's a misappropriation of what it takes to be a man. So they think some mulleted, tattooed gimp, he talks all day like this and calls his mates the C word and strangers mates, and yeah, he's can all guys get stuffed because I just, you know, don't want to work and I want to live off my pension and just... Well, I'm trying really hard not to swear, because that's all they do is they swear 24/7. They spit with every step and always snorting and smoking cigarettes and meth and God knows what. And for me, that's a misappropriation of manhood and got nothing to do with that. I don't want to quote this film, but I guess I shall. I think Colin Firth's character pegs it perfectly in Kingsman. Manners maketh the man.
I think so too. Yeah. I really think that's actually
the first main thing I've embedded in my kids. Our biggest hurdle, our main directive each day, is for them to be gentlemen. Because I think control. Importance and respect. I think patience and kindness all stem from being a gentleman, from striving to be a gentleman.
That's. I wonder why you didn't want to quote that. That's actually a really nice quote, though. It's really appropriate too.
I know. It's quite a crass film. I mean, ultimately, it's a film where a boy tries to take the anal virginity of a Dutch princess. But
no, she offers it, and so he
Well, it's his third act motivation. He's about to throw in the towel until.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, hey, you know what? It's like, you know, in the 80s, it was win, Rocky, win. Now it's that. So, hey, you know.
Look, hey, apparently it's quite enjoyable. I've not gone there, but it's yeah, 26 more muscles and 3 degrees warmer. So.
All right. Moving on. But I, you know. As a child, growing up, I was just thinking of my own childhood. It's like how what I was able to do as a kid would never happen. Like, not because I would – in some ways, I guess, I, you know, you don't – it's – I found out you know, that there are people like, oh, I don't want my kid to see that. I'm like, I grew up watching RoboCop. I grew up watching R movies, Predator, you know, Aliens, you know, these movies which, like, you know, R rated and still pretty violent and pretty gruesome, especially like RoboCop and everything. People try to tell you, oh, no, RoboCop would only be like PG-13 today. Heads being bashed, people being shot up, bullets, you know, that's not a soft movie at all. But seeing these things, like, I don't know, like, would I let my kid watch that? Or would I let my kid do the things I did? I mean, I used to drive tractors when I was allowed to and when I wasn't. I'm talking 5, 6, 7 years old driving, you know, a multi-ton, you know, farm implement with, you know, tool machines behind it that could, if turned on, could kill somebody, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Driving combines, driving cars. I learned how to drive a car by driving a car in a cow field, a cow pasture. I broke the, it was a 88 Oldsmobile. I broke, or was it 88? It was like an 80s Oldsmobile. I broke the gear shifter off the column. And they, because the metal, I broke it off. And so I'm like, I couldn't put a car in park. I couldn't put it in neutral. It's only in drive. So I'm like slamming on the brakes. And I will finally figure out with my left hand, jam the gear shift back into the gear shift, like, and then shift it down into park. So when you had to shift gears, you had to like jam it in. It was like killing somebody, like killing the car. One time I was driving it, somebody didn't tell me, my mom didn't tell me that she had put gasoline in a gasoline canister in the back of the car in the trunk. So I'm driving around the cow pasture, and like all of a sudden, this like hear this like this kind of sound. It wasn't a fire, but it was just the gasoline that spilled out. So the trunk of the car, so the interior of the car starts smelling like gasoline. So I had to roll the windows down. So it was like the smell of gas, and it was like, oh shit, because I was thinking, oh, sorry about that. But it was this, I was thinking, oh, the lights, the brake lights. If I hit the brakes, like, if there's a spark,
spark it off.
And I was like, I was like, okay, I will let my foot off the gas and just drive it in like a figure eight until like the momentum goes down. And then turn the car off and all this other stuff, handbrake it, whatever. It was really dumb. But, you know, that stuff would never let my child do. But I learned how to shoot guns. I wouldn't.
It's about context.
First off, because the whole gasoline canisters and stuff that. But yeah, but then I used to, I mean, I always thought that I was trying to be Indiana until just recently, rewatching it with my brother, Return of the Jedi. For many years, and I've repeated this probably on the show, that I used to, like, oh, I cracked my skull open over here. I got this little scar from trying to be Indiana Jones and sort of swing on a vine.
That's right.
While I was on the truck.
You have said that.
No, I was wrong. Not Indiana Jones. Do you remember Return of the Jedi when they're trying to get to the shield generator and then they can't figure out how, but one of the Ewoks goes and gets on the speeder bike and chases the stormtroopers?
Jumps off, yep.
Yeah, and he grabs onto the vine. That's exactly what I did. I tried to be Ewok. Not even...
Wow, you lost points.
Yeah, I lost a lot of points. I watched the movie and I was like, I've seen this movie hundreds of times. I mean, probably like 150, 200 times. I mean, Return of the Jedi, since I was a kid. And that makes sense now. I was like, oh, no.
That's
oh,
why.
No. it's really awful. And I feel like...
I think a bit of that comes from nowadays as parents, you're definitely not allowed to let your kids run as loose as you're able to then. So as kids, we were allowed to get up to more. We were allowed to disappear and basically come back when the street lights came on. Nowadays, you know, that kind of wandering around is so not allowed because of the druggies and the rapists and the kiddie fiddlers.
But they were always there, though. That's the thing. Like, when you think about it, they were always there, especially like the kiddie diddlers and stuff like that. But now it's just that they talk about it more.
I think they were always there, but they weren't ever discussed. They weren't readily there in the consciousness. So the parent wasn't forced to think about it morning, noon, and night.
Yeah. Because that's one thing that scares me about being, like, you know, I'm not, like I said, not a parent. So I don't know I do think that some parents, like, I know you, before you were married, before you had kids, you softened, old man. You softened.
Why is that?
It's like, you know, I'm just saying, it's like, you know, like, you used to be much tougher, but you know what? I think being a parent, you got to be, you're a good parent. They soften, their heart becomes like much more, you know, they're much more open and, you know, I guess loving and like, you know, concerned about certain things. You know, you're still a savage. You're still a savage at heart, which is good. Like deep down, like there's like, it's like some, you hear that tribal beat deep in your heart. It's like
things become immeasurably more complex.
Yes.
When you have your own progeny on the field, when they enter the fray, suddenly everything you have that's important about you is then multiplied by that number of people. Like, as much as you care about your own butt, you start to actually care about other people's butts more. And, you know, however you feel about your wife or girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever doesn't come one bit as close to the perpetual concern you have for these other critters. And you can't fight it. It's hardwired into your physiology.
Well, there are some people that don't have a hardwired, and you see it, you know, like,
I disagree. I reckon they do have it hardwired, and they're so scared, they're so terrified of it, they remove themselves from the equation.
I mean, those parents that pimp their infants out and stuff like that, that right there, I don't.
They're just sick puppies that need to be put down.
Yeah, that right there. That's, I mean, you know, aberrations, but still, it's like.
To paraphrase one of our other listeners, Nikki, they need to be loaded feet first into a wood chipper.
Yes, I'm for sure. With Nikki, I don't know if that's a phrase. It might be actually, like, you know, like that's how they deal. That's how they deal with trouble.
She's definitely capable of some pretty extreme things.
I would not put it back. I don't know. It's you know, it's a strange world out there.
But like the rest of our listeners, she's good people, and we respect that.
I'm trying to, like, what I'm trying to say is, Nikki, please don't hurt me. But no, I mean, being a parent, it's like, you know, to be a parent, to want to raise, and it also, it would be like for daughters as well. You don't want, like, you have to wear this nice pink dress. You have to braid your hair. You have to, like, but no, like, treat, like, you know, being like, I think when it comes to what does it mean to be a man or a young man, or, you know, like a rite of passage or any of that stuff, it's like, I don't think that exists anymore, really, in these days. Like, you can't take the old movies away. That's why you get physical media. We talked about that last week. So you get your physical media. But when it comes down to getting, like, you know, like having, being able to share something that meant something to you, and you hope they enjoy that. That's one of those things, like, they would be like, oh man, I love this. And hopefully my child, like, your kid hates it. It's like, I think there's, like, you know, that would suck. But, you know, being able also, I think the more important thing, the whole rites of passage is that, would be to be able to teach something they could use for a lifetime, you know, pass that on. It's like, it's one thing to, you know, oh, it's a movie. Hey, that's great and all, but being able to, like, I learned how to build. It was pig pen / chicken hutch. Mm-hmm. I did this sun up one day to sun down. You know, it was only two walls. It was two walls, and the rest of it was fenced in, like, for air. Because if you got a pig pen, you're gonna want to be able to have, like, air, so it doesn't stink the place up. And then also the chicken huts, but the roof and everything, and even the shelves and the little ramps and everything like that, with the little notches on the ramp. Like, I went in there and little tack, using tack nails, and little strips of wood, so that the hens could climb up there, because there's a rooster in there as well. And the pig acted as security. Any snakes, any critters that got in, the pig would eat.
Yep.
You know, and so it's like, it was one of these things. But he got too big and all this other stuff, whatever. But it was just one of those things. Like, I learned how to do that. I learned, you know, how to shoot guns. I learned how to do, and it's like, you see anybody you don't like, you pull the trigger. No, it was, this is a tool. Know how to use it. You know, it's one of those things. But it's. People are so scared of guns, or people don't go outside anymore. Everybody's on their, people just hand their kids iPhones and iPads and, like, have at it. You're raising a consumer. You're not raising a child.
Yeah.
You know, that's
but that's society. That's society's bred consumers. Why? In my opinion, consumers are easier to manipulate. So society will always do its best to do that. And I think a man is not easily manipulated. I think a man is strong enough to be himself and to know what he wants and to know how to get what he wants, but not at the loss of his own virtues and morals.
I think that applies to women as well.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, that right there, there's nothing gender specific. It's not like, oh, a man can only stand up and take a piss, you know, or something like that. It's like, it's going after, you know, having a moral code and not breaking that moral code for the easy way out, you know?
So this is one of the dilemmas I face, is that I know I could be more successful in life. Especially financially,
but same here.
That means I would be less of a family man. I'd be homeless. I'd be less of a contributor in the household. I wouldn't partake in chores. I wouldn't sing to my kids each night to sleep. You know, I wouldn't get them up in the morning and change nappies and get them dressed for school and whatnot. Preschool, that is. They're not wearing nappies at primary school. But I've chosen that as my path, and I guess I've identified that I don't think I want my kids to be ambitious at the cost of their humanity. I don't want them to be little whores chasing a dollar bill. But ultimately, that's what society respects, and ultimately, that's what society pushes as the ideal man. Some roided up dude bro in a suit. With 16 abdominal muscles, and a high protein, low carb diet, consisting of mostly smashed avocado. Well, that guy can go take a long walk and enjoy his own company. I'm quite happy doing what I'm doing, and I know it doesn't put me on easy street financially, but it lets me be, I think, the better man, and I think. That taps into, I think, one of the most difficult premises of manhood. And I don't know whether this obviously has to apply to women, but I think a man has to be strong enough to be kind, has to be strong enough to choose, even when it's really difficult, the kind path over the confrontational path, over the mean path, over the vitriolic path. Because kindness is something that only makes things better.
Yeah, I fully agree. There have been occasions where I was like, the path is laid in front of me, and instead I take a beeline. I'm like, because it's like enough is enough. But there are, you know, those things happen.
I don't mean nice. I don't mean nice though. Nice and kind are two very different things.
Well, I was thinking, you know, you take the, you know. Being polite, being just like letting things, you know what, this confrontation isn't worth it. This confrontation isn't worth it. Third, fourth, fifth time, that's a whole other story. It depends on context.
But I mean, if Sally comes up to me and she's got weight issues and that's getting to her, and she comes up to me and is going on about, you know, Snickers bars and how she needs to eat two more of them right now in quick succession, the nice thing for me would be to say, oh, yeah, you look great. Don't worry. Snickers won't do anything for you. That's nice. The kind thing is, hey, Sally, what are you having a Snickers bar for? What void is that feeling? What can we do? Can I distract you? Can we do something else? That's kind. Nice is sometimes a lot easier than kind, and it helps no one. Yeah. Nice can sometimes do a lot of damage. So I don't want anyone to think I'm some bleeding heart going out giving blowjobs to everyone down the street.
We know you're bleeding heart, though. We know you're bleeding heart, though. Yeah. It's like, that's just in your nature. But for me, it's like, sometimes it's the easiest for me to keep my mouth. It's like, it's hard. It's not it's easy in the long run for, you know, for ramifications wise. But I think that's like something that needs to be imparted upon, you know, a child, whether boy or girl, but it's like sometimes it's easier to say it's hard, but it's also easier ramification wise to say nothing. Because if you, you know, for certain things, like, I mean, this isn't like, oh, you're seeing a crime, you say nothing. You know, that thing may eat you up.
Yeah.
If you see something and you didn't say, do something about it, it's like, oh, but they'll call me a rat. They'll call me a snitch. If you're seeing someone being attacked, you know, helplessly being attacked, and you say, like, I don't want to be people's perception. You give a damn of somebody's perception of you. All right. So you know what? Then you're half of a person. Because the other half is what everybody else sees in you, not what you see in yourself. A person, a full person, will do what they feel is right.
Yeah.
And hopefully that's not like skinning people alive and wanting to make a skin suit or something like that. You know, it's like, you know, hopefully not. In this day and age, it's weird. But
there's an issue for that, I think.
Yeah. It's a custom woman suit made out of fat girl flesh.
Hey, I told you. What can we distract you from?
Anyway. Buffalo Bills on the A-rated seller. But it's like, you know, but sometimes saying nothing at all, because like there's certain things that there's no right answer to them, and then being able to judge that, and you know,
yeah,
but you have to have enough life experience to realize that, and I think that's something. If I'd been told that at a young age, it's like sometimes just don't bother, because you know your instinct is to it's fight or flight, and I didn't want to always run. It's either fight, flight, or freeze, really, at the end of the day. And I didn't want to run, I didn't want to fight, and didn't want to freeze. It's the war games. It's, you know, the only way to win is not to play. You know, it's kind of that kind of deal. But I think this has been a juicy enough topic, and I think we're, you know, filled the time quota pretty well. And I think it's a good way to wrap it up.
Sure, sure. There's probably one other thing, and I say it to my 4-year-old probably a bit too much, but another thing I think to being a man is don't act like you know it all. Because if you think you're the smartest person in the room, chances are you're not.
Good advice. Very good advice.
That's one thing I had to learn the hard way.
Somebody's always going to be smarter than you, and it's going to make you look like a fool.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to be made the fool.
Well, the other thing I learned is that the smartest people often are very skilled at making other people think they're smarter.
And then you get some devious people. Hey, you can get some devious people that happen to be smart. But yeah, I think that's it.
I hope that followed up on any questions Grumpy Pete raised with you. And I guess
it made me ponder, like, what does it kind of mean to be? And then it's like, I was realizing as I was talking, it's like, well, it doesn't just, rites of passages, you know, it's also,
rites of passages could be learning to drive a car. I mean, at the age of 4 or 5, my dad let me drive the stick on his Fiat 124while he did the pedals and the steering wheel. So I, you know, got to learn how cars work that way, you know, pretty tender age of 4, learning how the gear stick worked. But I don't think it's about cars anymore. I don't think it's about those old school types of manly pursuits, really.
Yeah. It's about how you go about dealing with this disease society in some ways. So.
I think it's got a lot to do with sharing your lifestyle as well, especially if it's about rites of passage. You know, if your thing is drawing, if your thing is music, involve those that you're bringing up in that world. I think it's as simple as that. Be their example. Involve them. Yeah. So
that's a good point, man. But you're also fighting the tide of society too. You're fighting programming from corporations that.
That's it. They want consumers. Yeah. They want their cattle to obey.
They don't want free thinkers. They want somebody like, hey, what are you doing? What are you trying to do with this? You know, they don't want people thinking like that.
No. Well, they do. They want people who think they're free thinking to be out there as influencers on all the social media network and forcing everyone to be paying, you know, $8 for bottled water.
Or, hey, look at me. I'm at the Avengers movie. Yeah. See comics, people. Yay. Selfie, selfie. And like, wow. If I had the Ark of the Covenant, I could just open it up in front of the internet and just like everybody that does that, it's like and it gets sucked in. I would do it. I keep my eyes shut and I stop hearing the whooshing sound of the spirits going into the box and like close the lid. But that's fair enough. You can find me on Twitter, folks, at Larry King Undead, on Instagram at Larry King Undead, and on YouTube at Larry King Undead. I finally did the whole thing where it's allows you to.
You did. You got enough followers, enough subscribers.
Well, I had it for a while actually, and I was like, I should go ahead and do it. And I was like, go ahead and do it. So it's YouTube.com. I think it's /C/ Larry King Undead. The creator, I believe that's what that is.
Okay, cool. Wasn't the first word that came to mind.
It's like, oh, you're going to call me mate? but no, Antonio, how about you?
Yeah, I don't have my own YouTube channel, but at Antonio Cinciolo on Twitter. You can email us, podcast@antkingfrequency.com, or check out our Facebook page as well. That's pretty much it. Thanks for the topic. It was nice to have something a little different. And we hope all you out there are being the best men and women you can be. We'll talk to you next week.
Ant King Frequency is copyright 2019 by White Tiger Graphics.